Hi, I'm Matt Walsh.
And I'm Scott Armstrong.
And you're listening to UCB Sports
and Leisure. Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed.
But with that comes responsibility.
We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative journalism capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure. The art of broadcasting lies in going beyond the scores and statistics and bringing to life the human drama involved in these competitions. Our next guests, Armando Manzanero and Turin Acevedo, have been doing it for decades for Deportes Telemundo in South America. You may have heard them here in the U.S. covering a rare soccer match, but trust us when we say their operatic voices and boundless energy could even make watching paint dry exciting.
Armando Manzanero!
And Turin Acevedo!
You guys recognize their voices now? You've heard them a million times.
Famous soccer matches throughout soccer history.
Yeah. Buenos días, my friend.
You guys were there when the Andres Escobar had the self-kick in, and you called it live on air. That man's dead.
The own goal.
That kid is a dead man.
That is right.
How did you say it?
I was broadcasting that very difficult, very strange game.
It was. Colombia couldn't get it going.
The young man, Escobar, he kicked the ball into his own goal. An auto goal, which I said he surely should be assassinated for.
Yeah.
I said that on live TV, and I do regret that.
And then I said, ese puto está muerto.
It's a dead puto.
Well, yeah. Maddie, this is one of my favorite things about this is we get to see some of the highlights and some of their great announcing that they've done throughout the years. So I'll just play this little highlight reel right now, okay?
Sure, Scott.
Here they are.
You want to tee it up?
Well, this is like some of their best announcing throughout history. Some of this is from the 70s, obviously. Then like Lionel Messi playing in Mexico for the first time.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be pretty obvious.
García da la pelota al otro Alberto. Y está corriendo y corriendo hasta la.
Y fue la pelota. Ping pong, ping pong. Así
dale
es ping pong.
Un carta rojo.
Una carta se fue de la mesa. Es ping pong.
Coño, puñeta, carajo.
Y ahora.
That was a good one. I remember that. That was a soccer match.
That was ping pong.
Oh, it was ping pong?
It was a ping pong match?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, we just got the audio highlights. So
we say it differently in our language. We say ping pong, ping pong, ping pong.
That's what I say it here.
You guys have paid your dues, I feel like. Like, you've covered so many different sports. Like
the biggest events in the world. The biggest ones.
But sometimes you don't get the... like, for example, you guys don't get to do World Cup, I believe, correct? Is that fair to say? Like, you're not the A-list soccer announcers?
Well, in Telemundo, they do some of the qualifying rounds, right?
There was a time where I was stealing money from the station I was working for, and for that reason, I no longer can do the big games.
Okay.
And I have very young girlfriends, so...
Very young.
Okay, so you guys have sort of character issues that have kept you from a glass ceiling,
yes,
if you will.
Yes, we have monkeys on our backs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says here you guys are actually doing some of the Brazilian Olympics.
Oh, yes, the Brazilian, the Rio de Janeiro.
Okay. I just had one clip I just saw on our little digital board here.
Oh.
This is they covered the dart championship in Newfoundland, Canada. Do you think you could
just... Yes, we did that one for...
Hold on a second.
Do you guys
second.
Mind if we listen what's to your, the, you guys narrating darts?
Well, what's thing? The code number in there? I'll try and match it.
Alexis can help you. I think it's
B7-red button.
I don't know if red button is lowercase or uppercase. Try both.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I think we're going to get it. Those are the boys...
She's giving us a thumbs up, so I guess it's queued up.
Aquí está, estamos jugando 301 aquí con Darts en Newfoundland, Canadá.
Darts en Newfoundland, ahí está.
Este es campeón del mundo de los Darts.
Campeón de Darts. Pero tenemos que hablar muy, muy...
Ahora viene Team Jennings. Team Jennings con los tres Darts.
Y aquí está la primera. ¡Fuck! ¡Ay! 20. ¡Fuck! Uno. ¡Fuck! Es afuera de la...
Un 21, muy malo.
Muy malo por este hombre, de este
porque
team.
Porque con tres darts para tirar uno afuera.
Necesitan un cuartero dart.
I think I'm going to pause it right here. Now, do you guys remember this event?
I can hear the darts going in.
Do you remember the event?
Well, that was when Team Jennings blew it. He was winning 3-1.
They were trying to win it for Scotland.
Pero no ganaron.
No ganaron. He had a very terrible run. That run, he missed one. Dart fell off the board. And,
I have to say, a sport like darts doesn't pull me in visually, but your voices made that come to life.
I know. I mean, that those things just...
Oh, you know, we'll make it a little more exciting, a little more sexy.
They paint a picture.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but most of our audience, we like to think they're on the farm working or they're in the factory working, and they need excitement in their life.
My cousin was a medical student, and he would always get really bored when they were, like, you know, showing, like, videos of, like, how to, like, take out someone's liver or stuff like that, or, like, heart transplants. It's, like, very detailed. But he said that you guys worked some of those videos and were able to explain some of the medical treatments. What's the number on your card, Maddie?
My card, now you're looking for medical treatments.
Is this when we talk about the sleep apnea operation?
Yes.
Well, there's sleep apnea.
I have S period apnea. That's got to be it, right? What else would it be?
Actually, I was the patient on that one. I think you were calling my sleep apnea.
This is a live broadcast of...
Well, they have like the little they have the little audience there. Like some of the students are there to study and watch.
Yes, so what country?
I'm not going to slow this down. I just want to understand what we're going to listen to. What country did this get broadcast to? You're saying you guys
live in Bolivia.
All of Bolivia heard a live sleep apnea operation that was narrated.
Well, because my friend is so famous.
And I'm so heavy, and I needed sleep apnea.
He is so
Got
heavy.
It. It was a celebrity piece. Now I understand. I thought it was medical.
Oh, yes.
Total celebrity piece.
And why did you volunteer for this? Did you save money on this operation? Or?
Well, you know, they were doing it for free, and the drugs that they give you are very – the sedation, the sedatives are very heavy.
Let's talk about really what happened.
Okay.
The Reggie White die.
Okay.
He fell dying in his sleep. Reggie White from the Packers.
Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh. And we were wondering why he died. And someone said he's too fat, his neck too fat.
And he couldn't breathe when he was asleep because of his, you know, his sinuses and his throat and everything was closing up when he was sleeping. And none of oxygen was getting into his brain. And I said, oh, chingao, I want to get that operation so I can live.
Not enough oxygen was coming to his brain. Not enough blood was going into his penis. It was a very terrible situation.
And I need my pinga.
Yeah.
We all do, man.
All right, well, let's listen to your live broadcast of Armando's sleep apnea operation.
Armando Manzanero.
Okay, so what's the number?
K423, red door, uppercase. This one's uppercase for sure.
He's giving it a thumbs up. Okay.
Buenos días. Todo el mundo está aquí esperando la operación de mi amigo Armando. Tiene algo que se llama sleep apnea, donde no puede respirar, mira. Y ahí viene el doctor. El doctor le va a cortar. ¡Ay, le sacó los tonsils! ¡Le sacó los tonsils!
¡Ay!
¡Ay, Dios mío! ¡Dale más anestesia! ¡Dale más anestesia! Armando se despertó en el medio que le estaban sacando las tonsils.
¡Ay, dame más droga! ¡Dame más droga!
Y ahora va a venir la enfermera para darle más droga al... Armando, ahí está, ahí está.
Okay, I want to pause it. I'm sorry. I'm going to pause it. What was happening there? Did you understand what was happening?
That was a very traumatic experience for me. I woke up mid procedure.
Drugs?
As he was getting his tonsil taken out, he woke up.
Gene Marine, they pulled it out with no droga in my system. Not enough,
Was
anyway.
This a real doctor? Like, you woke up in the middle of anesthetic? You just woke up?
That happens in Bolivia, right? I heard.
Bolivian doctors are the best in the world, my friend.
But the nurse is not so good. And what had happened was this nurse did not give my friend enough anesthesia.
You know, they're supposed to give me enough drugs, you know, to match my weight. That's how
that sounds like a horror. You just narrated a horror. You were in the middle of surgery and you awoke?
If you listen longer, he does go back to sleep.
Yeah.
All right, let's play the rest of it. Okay. Do you think the nurse was flirting with you, by the way? Why would she not give you enough anesthesia? It seems like a weird, like, sort of like... punch you in the shoulder because you don't like you kind of thing.
To be honest, we can't see this, but she was rubbing my pinga.
Go towards the back on this clip, Alexis. Go towards, I want to see where it kind of wraps. If you guys don't mind, or just sort of fast forward towards the end of it.
Oh, that's fine. Are you sure, though? There are very many highlights.
Well, do you have a stopping point? Your favorite, is it minute 39 or something?
If you stop right now, no, 2 minutes and 35 second mark is a very funny thing. Okay. Ay, Dios mío, se le cayó el escalpo al doctor adentro el estómago. Ay, la enfermera está ahí, la enfermera está muy enojada, está hablando con el doctor y el doctor dice, ándale, ándale, dale, dale, dale.
Más droga, dale, más droga.
Yo despierto y le sacan. ¡Oh!
Oh, estamos riendo de la misma cosa.
And pause. Wow. So what? I don't even know what happened
then.
He
was just waving his tongue around up in the air.
Tell me what happened there. I'm so sorry.
I was just about to go back under, and the, well, the enfermera, the nurse, she was rubbing me, and I got a little bit too excited. And
he got an erection.
In the surgery. So he was unconscious, but he had an erection. Is that right?
This happens many times to people when they're
on the table.
Under the anesthesia.
So yeah, and you were narrating the
And I
erection?
Saw this, and I'm laughing very much, because this is my friend here.
It was only a local anesthesia. They were supposed to give me the whole thing so that my whole body would
It's be supposed it. To be local, but it was more like loco.
It's very funny.
Dale.
Dale, dale.
Very good wordplay, sir. Very good. So I want to talk, too, about the Olympics. Now, you guys, I would assume, are going to get soccer, right? They're no-brainers for soccer.
Well, I don't think – I think I was reading the plan for ESPN, and they were saying that the soccer's going to the American broadcasters. And
we're getting golf. As we understand, we are getting
I don't think you're getting golf. You're not getting golf.
I think we're getting badminton.
Badminton is correct. You're getting. I think for some reason.
I read they're getting golf and fencing, but there's
– Oh, they are
fencing.
Getting golf.
Somewhat. Chingada madre, fencing. Who the fuck watches fencing?
I don't know.
But yes, we are calling fencing. Well, sadly, no, we are not doing the soccer.
I don't know why my friend took a weird turn just now. You know, there's a lot of stress going on. He has a son who may be gay, and he has a problem with this, and a lot of stuff going on in his home.
I love my son.
Can I ask what?
And I love him, too. I mean, he's a good boy.
He is a beautiful woman, okay?
Oh, he's gone to dressing as a woman?
He wants to be.
He's going to transition.
Okay. Well, good luck. That seems like a very challenging thing to go through.
No, it's not challenging. I love him.
Okay.
His name is Debbie.
Okay. Okay. I didn't bring it up. Your partner brought it up.
No, but it is something that we should discuss because I have many issues.
Yeah.
With the femininity in men, okay?
Was it hard to broadcast your son's surgery?
Well, that was something that I clearly did for money, mm-hmm. to help him with the...
In fact, yes, they came to him and said, we want you to watch your son getting his
penis
operation.
His pito cut off.
And then there was a camera held 3 inches from his face as he watched. And that was also broadcast on a different channel.
Yes, but unfortunately, they did not record it.
Okay, I'm pulling this up on my Vimeo account. I found it, but it's it's like a 3-hour broadcast you guys did. Is there let me just ask you this. Is there a point in that timeline that maybe it wasn't graphic? You were just sort of talking about things? Because I don't want to get too graphic.
Everything we do is graphic.
All right. Well, then let's
go. Are we watching the operation?
This is you guys narrating the operation. I believe it went.
Of my son getting his transition surgery?
Yes.
Getting his pito. Okay, let's watch it.
Let's go from right from the pito.
Okay. So what number is that? Do you
That's
remember offhand?
2 hours and 46 seconds into it.
Alexis, can you go so the first 2 hours and 46 seconds, nothing's much is happening?
2 hours,
well,
46
there's many
seconds.
Stuff going on, but not the chop.
Okay, let's go to that.
I listened to it all. He's right. That's not that much happened.
K24 Stallone, lowercase.
Y ahí está mi hijo. Durmiendo. Con maquillaje y pelo larga y blonde.
Es un buen niño. Es un buen niño. No tiene que estar triste.
Y ya va a ser niña. ¡Ay!
Y eso está bien en estos días.
Mija.
Los niños no nacen como tienen que nacer y se hacen hombres o mujeres con si ellos quieren.
Sí, aquí viene el doctor.
Ahí viene el doctor y tiene una cuchilla muy grande.
¡Ay, qué grande ese cuchillo! ¡Pero mi hijo!
¡Ay, ahora le está cortando el pines! ¡Le está cortando el pines!
¡El pene! ¡Ya va a ser una chocha!
Como cortando un hot dog y poniéndole queso en el medio. Así se ve.
¡No quiero vagina!
Alexis,
¡vagina!
Pause this, please.
¡Vagina!
Bring it down through the reverb or something. That's the part I didn't want to hear about. What? Oh.
That's right when they cut the penis.
Wow, that's rough. And that's his boy or girl.
It is, yes. And they cut the penis. As I say in the special, I say it's like you cut open a hot dog and putting cheese inside the middle of it. Because you need all the penis.
All the tissue?
You need all the meat. The penis to make a
because
vagina.
That's what makes the vagina.
Turn it inside out. Yeah, I imagine.
See.
But that broadcast was very, very heavily watched and listened to.
Really?
It was our highest rated broadcast in the history
it's like
of
must
all.
Must-see TV Thursday?
In Bolivia, 4 million people.
You seemed like the voice of reason. I didn't quite glom onto the language, but you were telling him that it's kids are born the way they're born. Like this, you shouldn't feel guilt or shouldn't feel any blame.
Well, yes, but I have to have a commentary going on also, you know, to explain to people what we're watching. And this is
you're
more
a
of
broadcaster.
A social experiment because a Bolivian man to have a sex change operation on TV, if you say this happened 2 days ago, people say, you're crazy, and this was revolutionary.
I needed to be the color commentary anyways.
It seems like some people were getting some kind of a thrill to have him watch the operation. And so that show actually had 7 million viewers.
I was very
Three
emotional.
More million
it was two
viewers.
Different shows.
Yes. I was very, very, yes. Yes, we had a two-part show.
Your lives are so public in South America. Like, it's crazy.
You have to, my Walsh. And that's the pitfall of being famous sometimes.
And we are passionate, very passionate people in Bolivia. Very passionate.
Like, would you let him narrate your proposal if you met a gal? I don't know if you're married or not, but if you met a gal, would you let him narrate the proposal? Like,
this is funny you say. My wife for 36 years. Started seeing another man, and
I narrate that
he narrated their affair, and yeah. I come in. I thought I was going
Brits.
To, I thought I was going to announce a poker game
like cheaters. He set you up like
he set
cheaters.
Me up like cheaters, and I had to watch my wife.
And I broadcast and I narrate the
I
entire
situation.
It's almost
that.
Like
Alexis
Temptation.
My wife gets bent over the kitchen counter, and
what did this air on South American television as? What would be the title that I could search?
I think it's Turina Cerrero's wife gets banged.
Whose wife again?
Turina Acevedo's wife. Turina Acevedo's wife gets banged.
Guess G-E-Z.
Mm-hmm.
That's
big
what it went
tits. Up. Big tits
That's
sucks
enough.
Dicks.
That's enough.
If you look at it on Pornhub.
No, we're going legit Google
okay.
search here. Okay,
it's on. All over though. But
those are all the catchphrases you can look up to find maybe.
Here it is. It's an hour and 12 minutes.
I found it on Pornhub right here.
Oh, I don't want to watch their version.
Okay, I'll delete it.
I have it on my telephone if you want to see it.
All right. Oh, well, can we... Let's put it through our system.
Yeah, let's put it on.
Let's play the clip. Is there a part anywhere in it?
So what happens is I walk in a little late. They gave me the wrong call time, so I come in, and by this time, the seduction is already beginning.
And I was
okay,
watching.
So you walking in on the... So I'm going to get... I think that's like 23 minutes. I can video scan. So go about 23 minutes in.
Vi la esposa de Turín. Está tomando vino. Pero por qué hay...
Hola, Arturo. ¿Cómo está?
La mujer de Turín. Turín,
oye,
no.
¿Qué está pasando aquí?
Turín, no entres aquí.
Ay, no.
Tu esposa le está fallando.
¡Mi esposa!
Lo están fallando.
¡Ay!
¡Adentro! ¡Y afuera! ¡Adentro
ay,
y afuera!
¡Ay, le gusta mucho, le
ay,
gusta!
¡Ay, Turín, no! ¡Vete de
no,
aquí!
¡No puedo
tu
mirar!
¡Tu esposa es una puta!
¡Oh!
¡Ay, Turín!
Mira. La quiero todavía.
Mira las nalgas. ¡Nalgas!
I pause it. Holy cow.
Oh, my
you
God.
Poor man. That went out on
that
television.
That broke my heart.
That was the second most rating, highest ratings in all of Bolivia.
Now, again, was this two shows? Like your show?
Yes. My
son's sex change?
Was it? Well, it was
and
one.
His
no,
wife
but,
getting
but,
banged
but you
by
seeing
a white man.
This thing was a different show. And then your reaction was more viewer.
Yes, again, they put a camera on a foot from my face.
Right.
And that was streaming live. And that over 22 million people streamed that. It as a cuckold
gangbang.
Cuckold gangbang, it's called.
The second part was a gangbang. We had to call more free.
By
more
the
people.
Way, my wife and I are still together.
Oh, I'm but happy for you.
You know what? Sometimes sex doesn't have anything to do with
love can absorb anything. I believe in that.
Yeah.
I just found something on the internet. It says you guys are in it. It's called Electrocuted Dolphin. Beneath it, it says that the Bolivian government... Because of a hostile acting dolphin at one of your SeaWorlds, was threatened or sentenced to execution. You guys narrated the electrocution of a dolphin for Bolivian
yes,
fans?
This one dolphin had raped four women.
Oh, no. Okay, well.
So four people.
But still, I just, first of all, I want to hear it, and then
so
I'd like to talk. You please set it up.
At some point, you say, what do we do to this dolphin? Do we incarcerate him for many years? And what kind of life does he live?
And it's hard to reform a dolphin. You know what I mean? Like, punishment is really about reform, right?
Couldn't you just turn him back to the ocean?
So he can rape?
No, he must pay for his
so
crimes.
He can rape every other creature in the sea? I mean, this...
Dolphins are just like you and me. They're
but
mammals.
Some of his behavior might be responsible for... A response to
yeah,
being in captivity.
You're kind of like
that
had him
a
small
cake. That is, but at this point, do you want to take chances with your family, with this dolphin?
No. Because I know you released him once, right? And then...
My friends, I do not want to generalize, but all dolphins are rapists, okay?
That's a terrible generalization.
All dolphins are rapists.
UCB Sports and Leisure does not support that ideology.
We don't either. We just broadcast it.
All right, let's go to the broadcast, and then we'll talk about it.
El dolfino es muy lindo animal.
Y lo están trayendo adentro del... El agua.
Cuando está en la agua es muy lindo el animal, pero cuando se pone en un parque es otra cosa.
Sí, sí.
No es verdad, Arturo.
Sí, sí. Y hablan mucho cuando tienen miedo.
Y ahora se ve que
tiene mucho miedo este
el animal. Está haciendo un drink, está poniendo un whisky ahí.
Está,
y tiene una píldora.
Está hablando.
Tiene una píldora y ahí se la tomó. ¡Ay! Y ahí se va a dormir. Está durmiendo la mujer y ahí se mete. ¡Ay, Dios mío! Se mete el dolfino. Alguien hace algo, por favor. Esto es lo más brutal que he visto en mi vida.
Déjale vivir. Deja al dolfino vivir. Por Dios.
Can you tell me what were you yelling at the end there? That was I couldn't transcribe it.
I was saying, let the dolphin live.
See, that's the cool thing about you guys, is you get involved in the moment.
Yeah, well, it's our job as broadcasters to share the feeling that we're having and also our audience is having at the same time.
I have something special for you,
did
Matt.
Did it get
I
to the little... part where they hooked the electrodes to him?
No, not yet.
At this point, all we have right now is that the dolphin
had knocked
a pill into some whiskey,
mm-hmm.
and the prime minister's daughter drank the drink and fell asleep over the edge of the tank. And that's where the rape occurred.
It was very sad.
You were describing. Oh dear. Okay, I'm glad we didn't go.
I have something.
Further.
I have something special for you, Matt. I have.
Yes.
This is a little treat. You know, I know that.
I don't do cocaine.
I know stuff. Father's Day is coming up. I thought it'd be kind of fun to do.
No sports bump.
No.
I have a video of you. I don't know if you saw this, but you didn't know we were taping you, but we have a security footage of you trying to get a soda out of the vending machine. Remember when it tipped over and fell on top of you because you were trying to get your soda so bad?
I wasn't trying to steal a can. I put $5 paper in there and I got nothing back. And I was reaching up to see if I could wedge one soda, which is 75 cents. They'd still have made $4. Whoever owns this building would have made
$4. You own the building.
Well, then they got their money.
But who's they?
I pulled a Coke machine on top of myself once, and are you going to play that? Is that your whole
plan? Well, that's
the fun.
Yeah, I thought maybe these guys could.
I'm going to go through security footage on you. Go ahead.
$5. You could have bought a coffee in the lobby over here. You know.
Yeah.
Go just ahead. Saying. Cue it up. I don't know the numbers. You have it.
Oh. This is.
Pero cinco.
This is Van Halen 2. Okay. Oh, she's got it.
Y está mal. Wow, she's está enojado. So $5. Lo comió el $5.
Hartas veces que se pone dinero en una máquina, se come el dinero.
Este rico güero quiere un bote de soda. Pero
a este tiempo él debe ir al manager del lugar y preguntarle.
Manejero.
El manejero y preguntarle por un refund.
Dame nomás los cinco. Nomás camina cuatro
se
piezas.
Está metiendo su mano dentro de la máquina como se está metiendo la mano en un poto, un anus de alguien.
Wow. Come on. Really?
Pero le gusta.
Le gusta mucho.
Le gusta mucho. Y...
Ahí le está metiendo la mano a la máquina. Entro, afuera.
Está escupiendo en su mano.
Para
más líquido. No, no se puede, Mawosh. Déjalo. El máquina se va a caer.
Ahí
se va a caer encima de la
máquina.
El pinche máquina se cayó encima de Mawosh.
I gotta pause it right there. I know what happens there at the end. That's right when the machine
falls
on top
yeah.
of me. Yeah.
Man, you look really silly.
If anything is done in the spirit of a sporting event that brings people together, then Arturo and I are there to cover it and to broadcast it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we humanize every act by covering it, is how we see it.
You bring joy to me every time you're on the show. And anything you guys want to promote or you want to get the
This is the bump time.
You want the leisure bump or the sports bump, sirs?
Oh, I like the leisure bump.
Okay.
If there are any young women that are in 101 improv class that would like to hang out with us.
And have a baby.
and maybe have a baby, I'll be at the Pollo Loco down the street on Sunset Boulevard, and we can get some liquors and some alcohol, cervezas, at the Food for Less.
That's your all plug? Right. Okay. And,
yes.
Turin?
Vitaminas pa sexo! Vitaminas pa sexo! VitaminasPaSexo.com! VitaminasPaSexo.com!
VitaminasPaSexo.com!
Oh, it must be one of your businesses.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, thank
good.
You.
Vitamins for sex, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for coming by, both of you.
These guys are passionate.
They're amazing.
We humanize everything.
We got to get better as announcers, you know what I mean?
Like, I totally disagree.
Hey, this is character actor Joseph Nunez, and you're listening to UCB Sports and Leisure.
The JFK assassination, 9/11, and the moon landing, all of these historical events are associated with conspiracy. The sports world is no exception. Chicago Bears superfan and king of the South End Zone, Fireman Pete, sat down with us to explain the shocking truth about some recent sports contests where he himself influenced the outcome. Note, UCB Sports and Leisure does not support the veracity of these claims.
How you guys doing?
Are you drinking?
Cheers. Here's to 2016, right?
Yes.
It is 2016, right? Mm-hmm. He always starts off with the year. Tells you what time it is.
What flavor beer are you drinking today, Pete?
That's 40-ounce malted. It just says generic on there.
So is that like a Aldi or a Costco beer?
Aldi, yeah. That's where I got them.
You get them in bulk.
You get 100 of those for $100.
That's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's cheaper before they put the labels on, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for that branding process.
It's the same stuff.
Is that what they drink at the firehouse?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I keep a 24-pack in the back of the hook and ladder. I got a permanently installed cooler back there because, as you know, it gets very hot at fires.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we got to keep hydrated.
Do we need to give me a little background? This is obviously Fireman Pete's a fireman from Chicago.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
Big Hawks fan, big Bears fan, obviously.
Yeah, as you guys know, I run the South End Zone during the home games of all the Bears games.
You're the king of the South End Zone. I think there's a fellow in New York who is similar, but he's a fireman too, but I don't know his name.
I met him. He's a jerk.
Ed. He might be Ed. He was I think he did some rude things. Not a nice man.
No,
let's leave it at that.
Drunk.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
When you call someone a drunk, they're really a drunk.
Yeah.
That's a real problem.
He's over the top, yeah.
Are you at the fire station right now?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Decorated, Scott. I have decorations.
So yeah, yeah.
I question. First of all, do we talk about how much the Christmas bonus is for Pete, or do we just worry? Slow down.
We didn't pre-negotiate that? Now, because that's the thing, is when you leave it a gray area, then you have to explain why there's no Christmas bonuses every year.
Yeah.
Because we aren't going to give any out, I don't think.
I don't think this year, no.
If anything, it's just reinvested.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Oh, hang on, Pete. Pete, hang on. I'm sorry. We shouldn't be talking business in the middle of this art that is.
I was told there would be a Christmas bonus. We can
figure that out.
I'm a city employee. I don't make a lot of money. I'm in the blue six figures, so it's.
Well, let me ask you this, Pete. You're drinking, and you're at the fire station.
Yes.
So that means
no fires right now.
Exactly.
I know, but he's a public employee of the city of Chicago, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you're drinking on the job. Openly? Are you on chef duty?
I'm not really on the job until the bell rings and we leave the station. I mean, I'm here, but my job is putting out fires and pulling people out of there. And saving people's personal property.
So it lowers your inhibitions, which is good.
Yes.
To some extent, but it also would probably slower your fine motor skills. And
well, you got to temper it. You know, you got to feather your buzz a little bit. You can't get sloppy.
Drink a coffee for the drive and then have another glass of Chardonnay before you run into the house.
But
Scott,
if you're,
you could be a fireman.
See, I know how it works. It's just a rhythm thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that, because I think if you're operating heavy machinery, say the back end of a hook and ladder, which you do on occasion, sometimes you drive the engine, sometimes you drive the hook and ladder, right?
I'm always on the hook and ladder. I don't
on the
have
back?
A driver's license.
You steer.
Oh, you don't?
You don't need a license just to drive the back, it turns out. So that's all I do. I just drive those back two wheels, and how are you going to pull me over?
Do you have a? Do you have to steer backwards or something? I heard you have to steer the opposite way of what you want the truck to where to go. Is that true?
You know, I never noticed. I just turn the wheel and avoid things.
You just feel it?
Yeah.
You just kind of vibe it like a jazz piano player?
All muscle memory, yeah. So, yeah. But having a little buzz, I mean, I can do this. I've been doing this for 25 years now, so I got all this stuff memorized. I don't need to be completely sober to go into a fire. It's dangerous in fires, right?
Of course.
So it's going to lose a little bit of inhibition to, like, run through flames and smoke and stuff.
Have you ever had so much alcohol while working that you went into a fire in the mood for fun? Like, you know how sometimes when you drink and you're giddy, like, let's rock and roll. Let's have some fun. Let's kick up our heels. Do you often feel that way when you go into a fire?
Not to my recollection.
Okay.
No, I really don't like to work at all.
You don't like going into fire?
No, nobody does.
How did you get into the profession?
It pays well, and you only work 3 days a week. Hmm. What's wrong with that?
And the free CDs.
And a lot of trips, too. I mean, you know, since I'm in charge of, for our station, I'm in charge of education, right? You know that. I go to other fire stations all over the United States and teach very specialized types of firefighting. So, for instance, I was just in Philadelphia this past week teaching how to put out a colonial historical building fire.
Really?
It's a very specific skill that is not taught by most of the departments.
Yeah, you can't just use regular sand and water or whatever.
No, absolutely not. So I put us up at the Four Seasons over there.
Really?
And
that's a nice hotel.
What
man.
Do you what do you put a colonial fire at? Like hay and mud?
Yeah, it's a very loose mud slurry that you're supposed to shoot at it. Then it wipe after everything's out. You wipe it off.
So you have to shoot it with like
so interesting.
You have to shoot it with like an Amish like carriage.
It's a hand pump.
A hand pump. Okay.
It's two sets of guys on either side that rocks this thing.
And it sort of preserves the building, the structure, yeah.
and the vibe.
Also the vibe.
It, and after you wipe the mud off it, it still looks like old. So. Nobody is the wiser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those obviously aren't usually electrical fires. Those are mostly like fires that start from like cows kicking over candles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, a true colonial fire would probably be started by an animal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
Traditionally.
Or like an Amish, yeah.
Like a lantern
that's
that
so
goes
interesting.
Untendered.
That's like a hot, but that sounds like you enjoy that. Like you seem to have a passion for the specifics of fires throughout regions and eras.
Well, I like to travel, you know.
Oh,
I
mean, just like the Four Seasons.
Yeah, my lectures usually run 7 to 9 minutes for on any given trip. I just like blow through everything, a lot of handouts.
That gives DVDs. You more pool time, right?
Yeah, and then I'm out of there and I give them my cell phone number, and if they have any questions, they could just call me.
And that way you're at the pool.
At the Four Seasons, yeah.
So. Is there, Scott mentioned the CD question, you seem to avoid it. Do you, in full disclosure, on occasion, take DVDs and CDs from fires?
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, so what do you
openly.
Do? So what do you like, do?
Yeah, well, anything that's loose that's about to be burnt up becomes property of the fire department.
Really?
Yeah, that's the law.
So it's like pre-melt is free to take.
It goes right in my pocket, yeah. I mean, you know, I just got a, what's his name? Tom Jones, What's New Pussycat.
Well, that's an old CD.
It's still good, though. It's a classic. So, you know, that thing would have just warped and melted and been good to nobody.
And Spotify's already free anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we usually check, clear to the apartment for people.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
Before we start looking for the
Do you have like poster size pockets sewn in? Like if you
I do.
Do you have like a DVD pocket on your coat and a CD pocket
yes,
on your coat?
And a money pocket. And I learned from Harpo
Old
Marx.
Coins.
There was this show, there was this movie called The Big Store, and Harpo Marx had these huge pockets on the inside of his coat. And he mm-hmm. was just like, he could throw lawn chairs inside of them. They were so big.
Mm-hmm.
So I had those made for, I had three coats now that I could carry watermelons out of a place.
Yeah, I was looking at your stuff on the line. A lot of your heroic pictures of you coming out of the buildings, are you have a giant coat on.
Yeah, you look like 30 pounds heavier in this photo, like you have a bust, a marble bust in there.
I see that.
We have to get these online.
I actually pulled a muscle at that fire. That coat was so heavy.
You pulled a hamstring trying to get some old coins and CDs out?
I made a lot of money, though. It was good. It's, like I say, fireman's salary, not a lot of money, but the perks are pretty good.
Now, yeah. You have a hobby that we've been told. You like to try and affect the outcome of certain games. Is that true?
Yes, I have a number of favorite teams, Chicago Bears being number one, Chicago Blackhawks. Most of the Chicago teams I like.
You're a big we happen to be big, huge. I love Chicago, yeah.
Yeah.
Big Hawks fan, big Bears fan. You have on record said that you have sabotaged Bears-Packer games.
I like to use the word influence.
Influence, yeah.
Sabotage is kind of a harsh word, but I'm a big believer in doing. And I like to think that we have had some influence on the outcomes of games over the course of history.
I know you were in the duck work, I believe, at Texas Stadium.
We know we put up the we put up the Jumbotron up there.
You were doing the welding watch, right? You were on fire watch for the welders down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a little mistake. The top four rows of the stadium could not see the playing surface because
welded it a little too long.
It was actually a drawing mistake. It wasn't our fault.
It's always the engineers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You just follow the schematics.
That's it. You can't see the field. You know who to talk to.
And you've sabotaged things, I believe, in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame up there.
Yes. We drew hair on Ray Nitschke's bald sculpture up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a Nazi like Charles Lindbergh. I put that on the plaque. So.
That's pretty bold.
Well, hey, the truth hurts sometimes. Wisconsin people get over it.
So yeah. March Madness is obviously a huge deal right now.
I mean, everyone's freaking. Game.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. Oops. Guess you lost.
You're not a fan of Notre Dame as well.
No, I don't like Notre Dame. I never have.
Is it because they're like the big national program that's always on Saturday football, and they're obviously like their forefront, America Loves Notre Dame? Is that because they're popular?
No, it's because they're Catholic. I don't like their Catholicism. I don't think they should mix and match football with religion. They got this touchdown Jesus in their stadium. And it just has always bothered me. And like you said, they think they're hot. Can I say shit on this show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a hard R, Scott. We are a hard R.
Okay.
It's in your contract. You're supposed to say at least 7 swear words per visit, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Drop an F-bomb, please.
All right. Well, then, fuck Notre Dame is all I can say. So I've never liked them. So
I think it's Latin for our mother.
It's
Notre Dame is our mother?
Could be.
I think so. So you're saying fuck our mother.
Fuck their mother.
Fuck their
mother. That's what I would actually say, yes.
I feel like Notre Dame has a lot of tradition, though. Like, it's kind of one of the early football programs.
Yeah, old school.
A lot of great football came through there. It's in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of the Midwest, and not a huge stadium, not a huge place.
It's in Indiana. That's a strike against them.
But they like they support the good academics. It's not just like.
There's some shitty schools in Indiana, like DePaul University. Terrible football
program.
It's
not like Miami, Florida.
Terrible football program.
You know what? The hell with the whole state of Indiana. That's what I say.
Really?
So I am happy to.
Fireman Pete just. Brush he's painting.
We're going to get a lot of emails about this. This is good for the show. I like this.
Controversy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad press, Scott.
Charlie Manson came from Indiana.
Did he?
John Dillinger came from Indiana. Klan was started in Indiana. I rest my case.
On the other hand, David Letterman.
Sure.
Bobby Rahal.
Larry Bird.
Bobby Rahal.
I don't know. Indy 500.
I don't know who else. So like what?
Great Indianans.
What were you up to?
John Cougar Mellencamp?
Mellencamp? He's good Indiana.
All right,
I like Mellencamp.
You get a few rare exceptions, but they all left, OK? Okay.
Michigan City, we used to go there as kids. They have good dunes.
Gary, Indiana.
Beautiful
supplying
dunes.
Power
beautiful
for the whole
dunes
Midwest.
In Indiana. Jackson 5.
Michael Jackson, all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's yeah, a lot but look of good. At him. He's a freak. So, you know.
He was born into a very difficult family. There was a lot of pressure on that young man.
All right, I give him credit for that, but he did not rise above the circumstances.
So you wanted them to lose? Is that what happened?
I insisted that they lose. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning working on this one. Well, we started out with a dead possum in their locker room up in the HVAC.
That's a classic. That's the old.
So how do you get into the – this is a nationally televised game. How do you get into that stadium?
Well, first of all, it's 6 o'clock in the morning with the possum.
Obviously, the doors are closed. I mean, how do you get in?
Security guards there, and I have a badge. Firemen can get in anywhere. Mm-hmm. I could walk into the White House tomorrow with a dead possum, and no one could stop me.
Like you're taking one in?
Yeah.
Or taking one out?
Well, I was taking one in this case, because a dead possum in the locker room, I got to say, is very disorienting.
Just for my, just indulge me. How does that interaction go? You go up to a guy in a yellow jacket who works for a firm, or is it a real cop?
Play right now.
Whoa.
All
right.
Can I be a cop? I'll be a cop.
You're a security guard.
I'm usually a security guard. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'm working security at the game.
Hey, no,
I'll be like a hot dog salesman.
Sorry. We're not.
Yeah.
Hot dog salesman?
Yeah,
great.
But I'm like inside cooking the hot dogs.
All right.
Sorry, sir, you can't be around here. We're not open.
Fire department inspection.
Red hots. Get your red hots.
Hang on, what's the inspection?
How much for a red hot? Oh, he's out of there. I'm in.
All right, that helped me illustrate it in my mind.
Just like that. You can't say no to the fire department. It's illegal. So I just, that's a quickie. Zip, zip, couple screwdrivers, you know.
Throw a possum.
Possum up in the air conditioning.
Where do you get a dead possum in Philly on the whim?
I know a guy who sells dead animals. And remember, you're like 10 miles from West Virginia. You could get dead animals for till the cows come home.
Okay.
That's like West Virginia's number one export of things, dead animals.
Yeah, that's like gourmet eating dead possum over there.
I don't know if that's true to people.
So Indiana hates us, West Virginia.
I don't know if that's true.
Well,
so you go in, screw it back up, and then you then leave. And this is in their locker room.
It's in the Notre Dame locker room. They were the visitors, I believe, in that game. So as soon as the heat goes on, you know, that thing starts swelling up. There's bacterial action that happens in a dead body, and you know, it eventually will purge itself, and. You know, I heard there was guys throwing up at halftime. They had the whiteboard out, and they're drawing out plays.
They never found it? Like, they couldn't find where the smell was coming from?
I don't think there was time, you know. I mean, there's, you know, Notre Dame's very secretive about their plays and stuff. So they had, you know, they wouldn't want any strangers in there walking around looking for dead animals in the HVAC.
There were a couple of those guys looked kind of sickly towards the end of the game. There was a guy with, like, a weird... Well. Flush on his cheek, like almost like a virus growing on his cheek.
Could be, dehydration from throwing up.
But that's
or like a possum sore, like a
possum sore,
possum smell sore.
Yeah,
I did put a couple of psilocybin mushrooms in their Gatorade too, in the Notre Dame Gatorade. I don't know if that could help them. Actually, I don't know if the dose was right, but
and that's like a hallucinogenic or what is that?
So, you know, like at the end of the game when you're shooting free throws and you see two or three, maybe four hoops up there, you don't know which one to shoot at, that's that stuff kicking in.
So you diluted psilocybin into their common Gatorade source for real?
Yeah.
That's really irresponsible. Like, imagine yourself, like, all of a sudden start tripping, not knowing you were, of course you're tripping because you drank something with psilocybin in it. You would think you're... having a psychotic break, like you're going schizophrenic or something.
Hey, Matt, I feel like I'm having that right now. Like a little bit of, I don't know what it is, but I feel like we've...
You're tripping?
I feel like I'm tripping right now, and I don't know...
I did not touch your coffee, Scott.
I feel like somebody did...
It's
just weird that you would bring it up while I'm having a psychic break.
I did not.
Psychosomatic.
Yeah. It's like med students is what you're maybe going through.
Oh, you know, like I feel like I smell a possum because I heard about a possum?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't even know if there was enough in there to actually change the course of the game. That wasn't the major thing we did.
That wasn't the
big
thing. I thought that was it. That would almost be enough to throw enough Because they lost by 14, but they were conning at halftime.
So that was like a little appetizer, a little taste.
Well, you know, they were only losing by 5 points at halftime. Mm-hmm.
So you had to up the effort.
I had to up the ante. And
it's just a sidebar quickly. If people in Vegas knew what you were up to, you could make a lot of money.
I'm not
you
an
could.
Expert of money.
I know you're not, but I mean,
it's a labor
seriously,
of love.
You're helping people, you know, win a game, basically.
Yeah, that's why.
You can't guarantee it, but that's severe. You know, you're punishing these athletes, it sounds like.
Changing the course of history is what it's doing.
Do you ever feel bad about the kids? It's like their last senior game, and it's they've been training their whole lives for this one moment just to have a fair chance at a championship, and then they have to smell possum and, like, drink crazy liquids and freak out?
Not if they play for Notre Dame, no.
Okay.
I don't care.
What if they're not even religious? They don't believe in God?
Yeah, I bet a lot of those kids on that team don't really care about Catholicism.
Remember Jim McMahon at
he went to Utah. Yeah, he was a Mormon.
He didn't wear magic underwear. Yeah.
That's a good point. Why don't you look at them as individuals instead of the banner they play under? I mean, these are young kids who are just catching a break. They're getting a great education. It's a great school, quite frankly. Yeah, it's a legit academic, wonderful academics.
Really?
Yeah, wonderful. Very good school.
They don't
very good school.
Great kids.
No. Good kids,
big future ahead of them, maybe.
As far as I'm concerned, they drank the institutional Kool-Aid over there, and that makes them a target.
There's no argument with you. Okay. Okay.
And that goes for Green Bay Packers fans. That goes.
Yeah, you are relentless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just prejudiced against Notre Dame. I don't like any of the LA teams. Sorry, guys. I know you're LA people now.
You're down on the Lakers, the Clippers, and now the Rams?
All the high schools, every one of their teams.
Bishop Mader or whatever?
Fairfax?
Fairfax High.
Wow.
Harvard, Westlake, I don't like any of them.
Campbell Hall?
No.
Not one high school.
What about my daughter's elementary school?
Yeah, Parker. Or my daughter's Montessori school.
I hope they're not in a championship. That's all I can say.
I was watching tape of the second half of the game, and I saw they were playing a little... I don't know. There's something like lethargic about them. And
your daughter's school?
I was talking about Notre Dame. Oh.
No, they were like five out at half. We were saying five out at half, and they lost by like 12 or 17.
Yeah, what happened in the second half?
Well, what happened in the second half is I had this ingenious plan. You know, that's a hockey stadium. It's they switch it over from hockey.
Okay,
basketball.
Right.
So I got in there before they threw in the basketball court. And I put this magnetic mesh down over the ice but under the floorboards. And then I impregnated their shoes, their basketball shoes, with metal filings and spray painted them to look like rubber. You know that stuff you buy on TV?
Sure.
CLO stuff.
Stronger than anything. Super bonding, right? Super bonding.
They make it in white, too. So you could put like metal shavings on it and go underneath. So essentially, you're wearing metal-bottomed
sneakers,
and you're playing on a magnet floor.
Playing on a magnet floor, so if you introduce a magnetic field underneath the playing surface, it's like just a little bit, not so that they're stuck and can't move. It's like
everybody, 5% more gravity. Let's say you're exerting with that pull down 10% more gravity.
150 milligauss. That's what we're talking about. That's the magnetic field. 150 milligauss. And it just makes you like 10 pounds. It feels like you're 10 pounds heavier.
Holy
than you were.
Shit. Oh my God. So by the end of the game, which is when they started dying.
Yeah.
You were just turning the dial, the magnetic dial.
Exactly. So
no, just fatigue took over too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep lifting 10 more extra pounds.
And you probably think you're just tired, because who would think you're playing on a magnet floor?
And you're tripping on psilocybin, and you just saw your buddy puke from, like, possum funk.
You got possum on the brain.
Exactly. They never had a chance. I hope you guys didn't lose any money.
Wow. That's pretty smart.
I think you affected the game. I watched that game last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I think you affected that. Holy shit.
If you went into that game with a 30-inch vertical jump, it was now 20 inches.
I also noticed at the very end that some of the Notre Dame players were actually jumping extra high. Now, is there any way to turn the
if you reverse the polarity, you can make them jump a little bit higher.
Oh, that would fuck up their shots because they've actuated to gravity mm-hmm. at a certain level, and then when you take that off, they're over jumping and overshooting.
Or if our guys are faking a shot and you get them up in the air, they're like way up there, and you can just run right by them.
It's like playing on the moon. That's not easy to time.
Ooh, it was fun to watch, I gotta say.
Man. Holy shit.
So anyway, Notre Dame's out, Matt.
That's the long and short of it. Goodbye.
And by the way, we have no legal tie to Fireman Pete other than he is a correspondent.
He's a correspondent.
He's
a freelancer.
We do not condone or employ him for those reasons.
I would just like to say that I heard that your studios are much nicer. The sound quality is better.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you had to do to get into
it. It's this vegan cookie company that's just like setting us up with all this stuff. And the view is great.
Yeah. We have a lovely view here. You got to come out to L.A. Next time you're out here, please stop in.
Thanks for listening to another episode of UCB Sports and Leisure. You can reach us on Twitter at UCBSL. And a special thanks this episode to Horatio Sands, Joe Nunez, and Jim Underdown. And as always, our lovely studio engineer, Alexis B. Preston. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.